Morning, guys. So this morning I am sharing on one of the top three topics in the universe today. And the top three topics in the universe today is a topic about if you're going to preach about the Father, or if you're going to preach about the Son, or if you're going to preach about the Holy Spirit. Those are the top three topics in the universe. I don't think that'll change. And so today I am sharing on the Holy Spirit, and I'm super, super excited about it because it is an incredible topic to share on. And already we've started to talk about the Holy Spirit, I think from the first moment, even when Dalian was sharing, she was just talking about that partnership that she had with the Holy Spirit while she embarked on that fast. And so that's what we're talking about today. And for those that have... this is a new topic for you. I'd love during the preach for you to, first of all, get a great understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And if you have not yet had a power encounter with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to get all the leaders and the community leaders to get up after the preach. They're going to just make themselves available here at the front. And I'd really encourage you to use this opportunity. And the Bible says that those who seek, those who diligently seek Him, will be rewarded. And we just trust that today that you'll be, that fire that we saw in Dalian, that you would catch a bit of that fire today and have it for yourself. Because God wants every single person in this room to have that same fire. And it comes through our partnership with the Holy Spirit. So, during the prayer meeting, also a great word from our sister, I've forgotten her name, that shared about that everything is impossible without the Holy Spirit. And we see this in John 6, 63. Who was that sister that shared it in the prayer meeting? Amelia, where's Amelia? Kids Church. So Amelia shared this exact thing during the prayer meeting, so I knew that it was the perfect intro to this preach. And it's John 6:63 in the NLT. It says, the Spirit alone, this is Jesus talking, okay? it's not Paul. I know all Scripture is God-inspired, but this is Jesus. You know, it's the red letters. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. And there's the importance of that cannot be underestimated. The importance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself, in that moment, pushing away glory from Himself towards the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, they're all secure in the Godhead. They don't mind the other person of the Godhead getting glory. And that moment, Jesus is pushing away glory from Himself and putting emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And saying that the Holy Spirit gives eternal life. We know that Jesus gives eternal life. Now He's pushing towards the Holy Spirit gives eternal life. And specifically in the area of human effort. That human effort accomplishes, everyone together, nothing. So in your own Christian walk, if you don't do everything in your Christian life through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and we'll look at that today, we accomplish nothing. So let's just put human effort and downgrade it this morning to its place of nothingness. Everyone say, nothing. And so the Holy Spirit's everything. And if the Holy Spirit's not everything for you, or it was and is not anymore, return today to the Holy Spirit and make Him everything. Because everything you're doing out of human effort is nothing. And coming from Jesus Himself. So we know that the Holy Spirit was there on day number one, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So He was there from the very, very first moment. So what we'll do today is, I'll take you on this journey with the Holy Spirit, and we'll see there have been nine areas that we'll look at and I'm going to go through them quickly for the sake of time. But I'm going to go through the nine areas, and they're going to give us an overview of how much we actually practically need the Holy Spirit in our Christian walk. And then I'll talk about the difference between, do you have the Holy Spirit when you're saved? And how is that different necessarily from the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Okay, because some people consider it, many people, especially in the Pentecostal movement, consider it often, not always, but often, to be two separate events. And then if you are saved but have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or not sure, we will pray that you will receive that baptism, and we'll look at what baptism looks like. Or if you need a refilling of that Holy Spirit because you've grieved the Holy Spirit so much that perhaps you feel like the Holy Spirit has departed from you somewhat, at least in a power sense, that we can pray for a refilling of the Holy Spirit. So that's the journey today. Okay, we're good to go. So Ephesians 5:8 says that do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And why is that comparison to wine? Because wine is a fake substitute. And what does everyone in the world want? Especially on a Friday night, they've had a tough week, you know, and then off they go to wine, wine or beer or whatever else, something harder. Why do they go there? Because they want love and they want joy and they want peace. But they are substitutes for the real thing. And the real thing we see in that exact scripture, why did the Holy Spirit create that comparison between wine? Because the effects can be so close, right? You have some wine, get a little bit drunk, you start to feel, and I'm not encouraging it because it leads to debauchery, which is what the scripture says, which will end up at a terrible end place. It starts well, or starts there with the appearance of being well and then ends in a terrible place. But there's a fakeness to it. It's trying to reproduce what the Holy Spirit actually gives. And what does the Holy Spirit actually give? Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. This is the real thing. You know, it's not the fake Coke, it's the real Coke. Coca-Cola, yeah? But let's use the other one as well. You know, this is the real. You got the fake cocaine, you got the real cocaine, okay? Because remember, people take drugs for similar effect, right? They want the euphoria. They want to feel these things that the Holy Spirit actually gives. People do not do drugs. It will kill you, okay? So it has the appearance of good, but the end result is death. And this is the real thing. And God is encouraging us, especially young people, where you know that your frontal lobe or your frontal cortex is only developed fully at 25, and that's the point in time when your insurance premiums go down, because suddenly your ability to discern actions with a view to their result increases dramatically. Before that period of time, emotion is such a strong thing. That's why you make such good soldiers. You know, you get all the medals, but you also the casualty rates off the charts. You know, it's the guys over 25 staying in the trenches and letting the young guys go out and be incredible soldiers. You know, and if you live, you get a medal, and you die, you know, you should have been 25 plus. So, and these are the things that the Lord, you know, wants to give us. He wants us to drink of this. So for young people, He wants you to drink of this, where your buddies out there are getting drunk and getting high. He wants you to get drunk and high on the Holy Spirit. Why did He use that comparison? Why did He use wine? Yeah? And He wants you to drink these things, love and joy and peace, and drink them in incredible quantities that all your friends go, how do you do it for free? Because it is free, bought by the blood of Jesus. It came at a price, but it's given to us freely. So while your friends are wasting their salaries there out there on all that stuff, you are getting the equivalent, but in much more depth and lasting and purity for free. Drink love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That just makes you feel it's such a deep thing. And that is why there are so many young people sitting out today, because many of them don't have to be sitting out today, but they've realized that it is better. They realize once they've tasted of the real thing, the other thing, they will never go back to it. A dog will never return to its vomit once it's tasted real meat. Jesus promises us that the Holy Spirit will fill us and satisfy us. John chapter 7, 37 to 39. It's a great scripture. And I told my wife that she wouldn't read today, but why don't we get it to read as well, if you don't mind. And I'll have a drink of water. Because it's such a great passage. We need good English.
Good English. John 7, 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
So we see words used like thirsty and to come and drink, and that rivers of living water will flow from within them. I don't see any promises out there greater than that. I don't see anything out there in the marketing greater than that. Not only that you drink and that you will, your thirst, your deep, deep spiritual thirst will be quenched, but also that rivers of living water will start to come out of you. It's not only going in, it's coming out, which is incredible. I don't see anything in the world out there that compares with anything like that. A lot of things are going in, but this is also going to be flowing out from you. You're going to be a well of living water. It's incredible. What God's going to do is not only going to do things in you, he's going to do things through you. So here are the 9 effects and workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm going to go quick through them. I actually gave Faith a warning. I said, Faith, we've got to go quick with the scriptures. So she's been prepped. So Isaiah 32, 14 to 15, this number one, in general blessing in our lives. This is how the Holy Spirit changes us. For the palace will be forsaken, the busy city abandoned, the hill and the watchtower will become caves forever. The delight of wild donkeys and a pasture for flocks. That is a place of devastation and loneliness until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high. This is written 3,000 years ago, and achieved 2,000 years ago with the resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit upon earth. And then the promise, then the desert will be an orchard. If your life is a desert, it will become an orchard through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the orchard will seem like a forest. Even the orchard will become so rich that it will become like a forest. Gavin has shared about this little olive. It's an olive tree that he's got outside. It's producing so many olives that it's like a little bit out of control, because the fruitfulness is so abundant. And this is what the Holy Spirit does in us. Figs. It was figs. He can't get rid of figs fast enough, And, when it was in season, don't come to him now. I don't know if it's, there's none now, okay, in season, there's such an abundance that the Holy Spirit creates in our life that it's just an overflowing. So he creates abundance in our lives. Number two, in evangelism, Acts 1:8, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we see this in an unschooled fisherman like Peter, rough guys out on the water. They're not the highly educated kind of guys, and they're standing before thousands, and they're sharing eloquently, and God's giving them the exact words to say. And we see in Peter's the fisherman Peter, still probably standing up there in his like fisherman clothes, and suddenly 3,000 people respond to his message because the Holy Spirit is partnering with him in evangelism and taking control of his tongue and taking control of his heart. And the results have been saying that, and the Lord wants to do the same with us in evangelism. The Holy Spirit wants to take control of our hearts, gives a heart for the lost, he wants to take control of our tongues so that we will have the words to say, that there'll be words in season right for that person. So we don't just preach like a robot, but the words have got power because they're specific words for that specific person in that specific time. Amen? So those of you that are struggling in evangelism, exactly, because it is impossible and you are nothing in evangelism, but together with the Holy Spirit, He's going to use you. Open yourself up. God has called some of us have the gift of evangelism, but He's called all of us to evangelism. The gift of evangelism is given in the office of the evangelist, for the equipping of the saints so that we can operate in evangelism. He's called all of us to be disciples of the nations. So let's trust the Holy Spirit in evangelism. Trust the Holy Spirit with our family and our friends that are unsaved, that God would give us heart for them and God would give us the words to say. Number three, in knowing the mind of God. What is God thinking? It's the most interesting thing in the world. What is God thinking about every circumstance and every matter in our lives? You want God's opinion. The Holy Spirit will show you what God is thinking on all of those issues. Does He want me to go to this school? Does He want me to go study at that university? Does He want me to date this person? What is the mind of God? The Holy Spirit will show you what God's thoughts are on those topics. Sometimes He won't share. If He doesn't, there's a reason for it. Don't just go do it. Maybe He's testing you. Yeah, you always waited towards staying. 51 stay, 49% go. Wait towards staying. You know you're in a good place now. Don't leave that good place unless you're sure you should. Amen? 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 10. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Number four, in helping us how to pray. You're struggling to pray. The Holy Spirit will help you to pray. Romans 8, 26 to 27, NLT. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We all find it weak to pray at times. Delaine was sharing about feeling weak before she embarked on that time of fasting, and the Lord and the Holy Spirit strengthened her. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Number five, in regulating our emotions. I did that one already. Number six, in strengthening us. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you. The Holy Spirit wants to strengthen you in your soul through His Spirit in your inner being. Amen. Number seven, in convicting us of sin. John 16:8, NLT. And when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, comes, He will convict the world of its sin. So He convicts us of sin in our lives, of God's righteousness. He leads us into righteousness, and of the coming judgment. He makes us realize of a coming judgment, which we all need to be sober about. We are preparing ourselves for what comes next. Guys out there that aren't in church are not preparing themselves for what's coming. And God promises a coming judgment. So the Holy Spirit prepares us for that. Number eight, in empowering us to worship. Don't try worship by yourself. Worship in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, 19. Yeah. Might be that I put NIV. NLT says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. The Holy Spirit helps us in worshiping God, and we actually worship properly in Him. We see this in John 4:23. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit or in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we need to be worshiping. The Holy Spirit shows us how to worship. It's Todd in this meeting here. Where's Todd? Somewhere. So this is a great Toddism. We need God to love God. Even in worship, we need God to help us on how to worship. We bring our enthusiasm, but the Holy Spirit empowers us as we worship. And finally, number 9. We got through it, guys. In ministry gifts to the church, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To other, interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. I'll just talk about tongues for a sec. Is tongues a proof that you have the Holy Spirit and a baptism of the Holy Spirit? No. You can have a baptism of the Holy Spirit without yet the release of tongues in your life, okay? But I want to encourage you that if you have already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you're about to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to trust the Lord for the gift of speaking in tongues. And why that is important is tongues is part of what I spoke about earlier in Ephesians 3:16, of the Holy Spirit strengthening you. And we see this in 1 Corinthians 14:4 in the NLT. A person who speaks, if we can go to 1 Corinthians 14:4, Faith. A person who speaks, I'll just wait for that one. 14:4. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. Guys, every single one of us here needs to be strengthened personally. The Holy Spirit is going to strengthen you, but he's going to be able to strengthen you much more effectively if you've got tongues. Okay? And you'll notice a moments of weakness, or you feel weak in your faith, or you feel tempted, and you just speak in tongues, and it's amazing the transformation that can happen within 5 minutes. Because as you speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit's praying the prayer that you need for you in that moment. And he's strengthening you. So let's move on to part 2 now, which is how do you receive the Spirit? And this is where we understand the idea of, if I am saved, but I've not yet had the baptism in the Holy Spirit, do I have the Spirit? I'm saved, I'm a believer, I'm sitting here today, but I've not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've not yet had a power encounter with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Power encounter means I haven't felt it physically, him overwhelm me by his Spirit. Okay? Do you have the Holy Spirit? The answer is yes, you do. And we see this in Acts 2:38, that we do receive the Holy Spirit instantly at salvation. And I'm going to help you understand the difference between having a measure of the Holy Spirit, which is given at salvation, and having the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's a little bit like this. Have you ever gone to a pool party, but you don't really feel like swimming? And everyone's in the pool, and they're having such a jol in the pool. You know, they're splashing and screaming and shouting, but you don't feel like swimming. So you go sit next to the pool, and you got your feet in the water. So you're technically you're kind of there, but you're not fully immersed. So your feet are in the water, and it's a little bit like that, the difference between being saved with the Holy Spirit and being saved with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Your feet are in the water, but you're not yet swimming. And this is your feet are in the water. But for some people, Dimitri Nikiforis, he's an elder in, I think he's in Muesenberg. Is he in Muesenberg? He's in Weinberg. Nathan's been working with him in the Bible teaching. I heard Nathan's been doing an incredible job there, so well done, Nathan. And he says that it was two separate occasions. He was a full-on believer, walking with the Lord, born again, and then much later on, I think it was 2 or 3 years, only later did he receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so some people it's instantaneous in the same moment. That was my experience. The moment I got saved, I got the baptism. For some people it's two separate. You're not inferior. Okay, it's very, very common. In fact, across hundreds of years of Pentecostalism, well, it's not 100 years, it's only about 170 years, the idea of a separate baptism of the Holy Spirit is common. So here is feet in the water. And Peter said to them, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So you receive a measure of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation. Ephesians 1:13 to 14. I want to talk about what's called a guarantee, that the Holy Spirit is what's called a guarantee. And for the older guys, do you remember when we used to have checks from the bank? Okay. For the younger people, you'll be fascinated to know that in the old days, we could pay someone with a piece of paper issued by the bank called a check. It was bank issued with the logo of the bank on. You'd write the person's name there and the amount, and you sign it, and you give them the check, and they're satisfied. You can walk off with a car with a piece of paper. Okay? They would take that check. They would take it to the bank, okay? And the bank would pay out how much you've written on the check. If you've written out 10,000 rand, the bank would pay the person that you gave the check to 10,000 rand in cash. Now, the Holy Spirit is like a check. And we see this in Ephesians 1:13 to 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Okay? Until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So, there used to be this rock band called POD. Did anyone listen to POD back in the day? Okay, and POD stands for payable upon death. That Holy Spirit that's given to you, put inside of you, is a check, and it's payable upon death. When you leave this life, that check inside of you gets cashed, and it gets paid out with eternal life. So the Holy Spirit, if I'm walking with the check, that's my guarantee that I've got the cash. If you've got the Holy Spirit right now, that's your guarantee that you've got the cash. But the cash is not cash. The cash is eternal life. So your Holy Spirit is so important. So that's why every single born-again person does have the check. You cannot be born again and not have the check. So every single born-again person has the Holy Spirit. But here is the difference. And we see in Acts 1:5, the understanding of a baptism in the Holy Spirit. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the Greek is baptizo. Baptizo means a full immersion when a ship used to sink at sea. You see the ship, there's a hole in the ship for whatever reason, hits a rock, the ship completely sinks. In Greek they say it's been baptizos. That ship is gone. And that is what the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's a full immersion in the Holy Spirit. It's when the Holy Spirit you have a power encounter with the Holy Spirit and you are fully immersed. And there's definitely a difference in what your Christian walk looks like. You'll feel a lot more power. You'll feel a lot more of the presence of God. Why it is a separate event, I'm not sure, but it is a human experience. And we see this in Acts 8:16 to 17, described exactly such in the NLT. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized. So we're talking about a baptism of the Holy Spirit, because they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they've already had water baptism. Okay? Believers. We assume born again believers. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. We assume the context there, because it's also mentioned baptism, is they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So for some of you today that are not sure, and I myself have been prayed for thousands of times over the years, and I think many people in this room have as well, please come just receive prayer. And if you're not sure, it won't hurt. but come by faith. So there are two ways, maybe more, but I'm just going to do two of how you can actually receive. You can receive it, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by just sitting or standing in a meeting. And we see this in Acts 2:2-4. This is without the laying on of hands. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit can come without the laying on of hands. So those that teach that it's only through the laying of hands, well, this scripture contradicts that. Acts 2:2-4. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Okay, there's a whole bunch of guys in this meeting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So a full baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's just sitting in a meeting or standing in a meeting. Anyone had that? Okay, there's a few people nodding. And or it can come through the laying on of hands, Acts 19:6. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. All right, so those are two settings. Please don't sit in your chair and rely on the number one if you're not sure. Come and get number two, because to be honest, usually people would lean towards the placing of hands. There's just something about the touch that takes place. How do you receive it? What is the posture of your heart? It is by faith. It's not by working yourself up. It's not by trying to initiate your own shaking or try fall over backwards. Okay? If it's not in the Holy Spirit, you may get hurt. If it's not in the Holy Spirit, I've never seen anyone get hurt falling over. I've seen guys take out, you know, 10 rows of chairs, 5 rows of chairs. I saw Leroy take out a whole bunch of chairs. He never got hurt. But if you fake it, you will, yeah, I don't know. That's okay. Have you got a medical insurance? So don't try and make it happen. Just believe. Just have faith. Don't work it up. And if he doesn't give it to you today, keep on seeking. Are you hungry? If you don't give up, and we'll see this in a sec, it will be given to you. Galatians 3:2. Let me ask, and this is where Paul was trying to speak to the Galatians, because you could see that human effort, which we've already established will achieve nothing, was starting to come into play. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Galatians 3:2. Obviously, of course, by hearing with faith. So human effort will not achieve it. And you can receive it simply by asking. And when I say asking, I mean you personally. Come before the Lord in the quiet place of your heart and ask from your heart and say, I want this. Holy Spirit, I want this. Luke 11:9-13. So I say to you, now watch where the scripture goes, because we often teach the scripture, but look where it goes. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. Won't you say that everyone who asks receives? Okay, that means everyone. Okay, that's how I see it. It means everyone. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Verse 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Now look at the context. If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's that simple. Everyone who asks receives. You might not receive today, but you will receive. And if you receive today, praise be to God. So I'm going to ask the community leaders and the deacons to come up. I already prepped them earlier, because they're just going to make themselves available. You can come up now and just stand at the front. They're going to make themselves available to, don't be shy, guys, to pray for whoever wants to get prayer. And in two areas, either for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a power encounter with the Holy Spirit, which you may not have had experienced yet, and which is very common, and many people have received as a second occurrence, or a fresh indwelling. You feel like you've grieved the Holy Spirit, and you live in South Africa and the Holy Spirit lives in China. That's what it feels like. And you want the Holy Spirit to live in South Africa for you as well. And we can just pray that the Lord would just come upon you through His Holy Spirit.